Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, February 27th, 2024.
Joel. All right, one announcement before we get started this evening. I want to remind you all that this Saturday, the evangelism team will be going out to Child Haven. We've been invited back. And this time it's speaking to all the teenage boys and teenage girls. So I'd appreciate your prayers for the evangelism team, that they would be channels of God's grace, tools in His hands, that the grace gospel would be given clearly and accurately, and that God would prepare the hearts of all those teenage boys and girls and the staff, and prepare their hearts and draw them there for that evangelism this Saturday, March 2nd, from 10 to noon. I know most of you have in your prayer list, you're aware of the fact that that's going on, but just to remind you about that. All right, in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank You, sir, for Your infinite and Your matchless grace. And we thank You, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom that You've given to us in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship You through the study of Your Word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In our Tuesday night class, we are in the book of Joel, and we are coming to the end of Joel chapter 2. We're in a great paragraph right now, verses 21 to 27, but the last five verses, they're so unique that in the Hebrew scriptures, in your English Bibles, it's Joel 2:28-32. In the Hebrew scriptures, it's a different chapter, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. They made these five verses because they realized how unique and powerful there were as prophetic truth. They set it apart, and it's Joel 3, 1 through 5 in the Hebrew text. Any of you have your Hebrew text with you? But it's Joel 2:28-32 in the English. And then in the Hebrew text, what we have is Joel chapter 3, 1-21. They have is Joel chapter 4, 1-21. So I study from the Hebrew text, but why was that said? We're going to go over those kind of things. In our study in the book of Joel, very applicable to the time in which we live in America. Hal Lindsey had an article, Security in a Dangerous World. Things are going wrong all over the world. Civilization itself seems on the verge of a terrible implosion. Economies are held together with baling wire and spit. The United Nations, one of the most evil organizations on planet Earth, the United Nations and most nations tend to reward terrorist nations like Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran while attacking those who resist military aggression. In a time of nuclear proliferation, our leaders keep choosing policies that encourage belligerence. It is only by the grace of God that an ungrateful world continues its balancing act on the edge of a terrible abyss. But as the world rejects God, it also rejects His grace and His help. And without major changes, time is short. Meanwhile, it gets more dangerous every day just to go to the grocery store or drive down the street. Tidal waves of drugs and drunkenness engulf the nations. Pestilences plague the world. And lies and fake news now permeate once trusted institutions. And churches that ignore these things or fail to sound the alarm neglect their duty to those they are called to serve. Meanwhile, some other churches and Christian organizations make the opposite error. Instead of looking for the coming of Christ, they are diligently searching for the Antichrist. They focus on evil. Dark conspiracies have become their stock in trade. They act as if their job is to make Christians depressed, distressed, and afraid. The signs of the time should focus our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we need to be aware of them and let Him help us understand them. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 2 and 3, Jesus chided the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they understood signs in the weather, but they did not understand the signs of the times. It is for good reason that the Bible gives detailed information about the times leading up to the Lord's return. And that's Joel, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord deals with the tribulation period, the second advent, and the millennial reign of Christ on earth. And there, that's Joel, the day of the Lord. But signs only give part of the picture. The key to it all is the Lord Jesus Christ. He should be our focus, especially in an era of chaos. 1 Corinthians 14:33 tells us that God is not the author of confusion. The Greek word here, translated as confusion, means chaos, disorder. But Jesus is our rock, our unchanging home, even as bedlam overtakes the world. Our hope as Christians has always rested in Him and Him alone, and not in the world system, not in Satan's cosmic system. But the world's present instability should remind us of the one who remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. We find our stability in Him. And I'm not saying to disengage with our neighbors in the world. The Bible admonishes us to be good citizens. And in a republic, and this is a republic, America is a republic, not a democracy, a republic. And in a republic, citizens comprise the ultimate governing authority. We must discharge those duties with diligence and care, especially when it comes time to vote. We need to be informed and involved. Sadly, many have taken this to unwarranted extremes. They started by simply pulling for their guy in an election, and nothing wrong with that. But some then became so absorbed in the cosmic system that they began to place their hope in political messiahs. This leads to inner turmoil, anger, and fear. Many live in constant dread of the next election. Concentrate on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. He has never let you down. He never will. Romans chapter 8 lists terrible difficulties Christians sometimes encounter. But verse 37 then proclaims, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves us with infinite virtue love. Well, that's a great introduction to the book Joel, which the theme of the book of Joel is the day of the Lord. Now, we are not in the day of the Lord right now. We're in the church age. Church age began at Pentecost, concludes with the rapture, the resurrection of the church, the royal family of God. At the end of the church age, following the rapture, that's when the day of the Lord begins. It covers three periods. After the rapture, after the church age, first of all, the 7-year tribulation period, also known as the 70th week of Daniel. It's 7 years in length, the tribulation, made up of two parts. The first half, the first 3.5 years, and then the last 3.5 years, which is called in the Bible the Great Tribulation. That's the first part, part one of the day of the Lord. And that is in the book of Joel. And then the second part of the day of the Lord is the second advent of Jesus Christ to this earth. Jesus Christ is coming back to planet Earth at the second advent, at the end of the tribulation period. He will rescue those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, both Jews and Gentiles who have listened to the gospel from the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, 144,000 super evangelists, 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel, and there will be many people who will believe in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will return at the second advent and rescue them and bring them into part three of the day of the Lord, the millennial reign of Christ on earth. For 1,000 years, the Lord Jesus Christ will rule planet earth. And for all of you people involved in climate change and global warming and that, there'll be perfect environment for 1,000 years. We're not going to destroy the planet with driving gas-operated vehicles. I have a gas-operated vehicle. I will never, ever have an electric vehicle. They suck. I'm not destroying the planet because I drive a gas-operated vehicle. The Bible tells me Jesus Christ will come back and he will rule in perfect environment for 1,000 years. Perfect air, perfect water. There'll be great food. Nobody will go hungry. There'll be food all over the planet. And there will be no war. There will be world peace. Why? Because the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, is ruling planet Earth. That's part three of the day of the Lord. All of this is in the book of Joel. The book of Joel, the day of the Lord. Well, we are right now in Joel 2, 21 to 27, which is the foretaste of the millennial reign of Christ on the earth. And in Joel 2, 21, we see the land is happy. In Joel 2, 22, the animals are happy. In Joel 2, 23, the first half, the people are happy. In Joel 2, 23b and 24, there is great, great economic prosperity. And then in Joel 2, 25 to 27, the living and true God answers the reversionists and the cynics of the nations of the world. We see their reversionism in Joel 2, 17. O Lord, look upon your people with compassion, your people Israel, and do not make your inheritance to become an object of reproach, to become a byword among the nations. Why should they, these nations, keep on saying among the peoples, where is their God? Where is Israel's God? Well, we have in the Jewish people turned back to God and to the Word of God. It's called biblical repentance, and that's verse 25. Repentance is followed by restoration of blessings, and that's Joel 2:25. And then we are partway through verse 26. So far, the exegesis on verse 26 says, you will have plenty to eat. There will be food for everyone in the world in the millennial reign of Christ. More food that you're totally satisfied. Nobody will be hungry in the millennial kingdom. You will have plenty to eat and you will have inner satisfaction. And you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who manufactures wonders, miracles with you all. Joel reminds the people of Judah that the Lord your God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has manifested his wondrous grace and power to them. This phrase sees its ultimate fulfillment in the miraculous events of the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ will miraculously deliver Israel from the Antichrist and worldwide anti-Semitism fomented by Satan himself. The Lord Jesus Christ will miraculously restore Israel as his client nation, and he will miraculously bless the land and the animals and the people living in the millennium. So verse 26, so far, again says, you will have plenty to eat, and you will have inner satisfaction, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who manufactures wonders, miracles with you all. Now we continue on in our exegesis of verse 26, and the next phrase is, we always start with the King James, and my people shall never be ashamed. We have the conjunction vav prefixed to the objective negative lo, which is joined by a makef to the kal imperfect of the verb bosh, plus the noun am with the first person singular suffix, plus the preposition lamav prefixed to the noun olam. All right, we have, first of all, the conjunction vav. Looks like that. That's vav, V-A-V. And vav is an inferential vav. It may be translated so, or therefore, or then. We'll translate it then. It introduces a result. And then we have the objective negative lo. Looks like that in the Hebrew, L-O, Aleph. Lo, this is the objective negative, and it slams the door. You can translate it, absolutely not. And then the verb bosh. Looks like that in the Hebrew, B, long, O-S-H, bosh. And bosh means to feel shame or to be ashamed. So, who is not ashamed in the millennium? He says, my people, the Jews, Israel, will absolutely not be ashamed. And the noun am, I-N-A-M, am. The noun am means people, and with the first person singular suffix, it is my people, Israel, the Jewish people. And then the preposition lamav, that's El Shavah. Lamav means to what? To olam. Looks like that in the Hebrew, ayin, o, long, o, l, a, m, olam. And olam means the eternal future. It means forever. It means always. Now, literally, this says, and my people absolutely will not be ashamed to eternity. That's literal. This is an idiom in the Hebrew that means and should be translated, then my people will never be put to shame. Then my people will never be put to shame. All right, one. This can only refer to Israel following the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth and the establishment of his kingdom on planet earth. So this can only refer to Israel following the second advent of Christ and the establishment of his kingdom on planet earth. Two, God has wonderful and miraculous blessings for regenerate Israel in the millennial kingdom and then on forever in the eternal state. God has wonderful and miraculous blessings for regenerate Israel in the millennial kingdom and then on forever in the eternal state. 3. The nation Israel will never again suffer any Holocaust. Never, ever again. The nation Israel will never again suffer any Holocaust. So verse 26 says, you will have plenty to eat, you will have inner satisfaction, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who manufactures wonders and miracles with you all. And then my people will never be put to shame. Now that brings us to verse 27, the last verse of this paragraph, before we get into that unique last five verses that the Jewish, Orthodox Jews saw as so powerful, they made it a different chapter. Joel 2:27, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. We have the conjunction vav prefix to the cal perfect of yada, plus the conjunction ki, plus the preposition base prefix to the noun kerev, plus the noun Yisrael, plus the pronoun ani, first person singular. First of all, and this is all very, very important, you say it's just a vav, that's just like a chi. It means and. Oh, ye of little brains. The vav is a vav conversive. Now that's very important. A vav conversive. It converts the perfect of the verb yada into an imperfect. What does that mean? The imperfect has the force of the future tense. The future tense looks forward to the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth and the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on the earth. That's why the vav conversive is so important here, knowing that. And then the verb yada, not yada, yada, yada. Y-A-D-A-I-N, yada. Now I want you to keep track of this because you got yada, but this is a comet and a pathak, long A, short A. Then there's a noun. What's the difference between the verb and the noun? You have comets, comets. If it's comets, comets, you got a noun. If it's comets, pathak, you have a verb. Now, this is important because we have coming up, we'll have daver, verb, and davar, noun. One's a comets, pathak, one's a comets, comets. And you can go out tonight and look for the comet. Then, yada is the verb, the Hebrew verb to know. Then you will know. Then you will know. And then we have the conjunction ki, and many times it's causal, but not here. Why? You know why. After verbs of decendi, like knowing, thinking, seeing, and what is yada? To know. That's a verb of decendi. Then it introduces an object clause, and it's correctly translated, that. Not because, but that. It introduces an object clause. Here it introduces what people all over the world will know. People all over the world will know in the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ on the earth. They're going to yada. They're going to know. Then you will know that. And then the next clause, I am in the midst of Israel. Now, in your translation, it looks like there's a verb, but there is no verb in the Hebrew. That's very, very important. We have the preposition beth, prefix to the noun kerev. Bishava, beth, that's preposition in, and then we have kerev. Q-E-R-E-B, kerev. And kerev means in the midst of. So we have beth in, kerev, the midst of, in the midst of. And then we have the noun Yisrael. That's the Hebrew word Israel, Y. I-S-R-A-Aleph-E-L. Yisrael. And that's the nation Israel. Followed by the personal pronoun Ani. Aleph-A-N-I. Ani. And Ani is the personal pronoun I. And I is the Lord Jesus Christ. So literally, this is what, there's no verb now. I'm going to leave the verb out. I'm going to give the literal translation. Then you will know that in the midst of Israel, I. That's, I like the literal. That's very powerful. Then you will know that in the midst of Israel, I. All right? One. The absence of the verb is very important. It puts the spotlight on the Lord Jesus Christ. It puts the spotlight on the Lord Jesus Christ and His relationship with the nation Israel and the Jewish people. So this is very powerful. The absence of the verb puts the spotlight on the Lord Jesus Christ and His relationship with the nation Israel and the Jewish people. Two. Both Israel and the nations all over the world will learn and know some very important and absolute truth about Jesus Christ. Both Israel and the nations all over the world, all over planet Earth, will learn and know some very important absolute truth. What is that? Subpoint one. The Lord Jesus Christ will restore Israel as His client nation, and He will rule the entire world as the Son of David from Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus Christ will restore Israel as His client nation, and He will rule the entire world as the Son of David from Jerusalem. Two, they will know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the God-man, undiminished deity and true humanity, united in one person forever. So they will know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah. I remember, it's been a few years ago now, Debbie had cancer and had to have surgery. And the doctor that did the surgery was a Jew. And he came to the church. He came to the church and asked to speak with me. We went back in the game room back there. And he said, Pastor Olson, he says, your wife is a very unique individual person. He says, I tell people that I'm going to have to perform surgery and take everything out here. They don't handle it very well. And she handled it magnificently. This was the plan of God. This is the will of God for my life. That's, go ahead, just go in there and let her rip. And then he said, Pastor Olson, he says, I'm Jewish. And then he started whispering, do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah? Yes, I do. He is the Messiah. He goes, I believe he's the Messiah too. I said, okay, but we won't tell anybody. I believe he's the Messiah too. But he says, my parents, if I told them I believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah, they would disown me. I would not be their child anymore. They would disown me. I said, well, you know, you ought to tell your parents that you believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And you ought to show them from the Word of God that he is the Messiah. And who knows, maybe your parents will believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, as the Messiah. And then you'll all be in heaven together. Your parents and you. How great is that? So they will know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the God-man, undiminished deity and true humanity, united in one person forever. Three, they will know that in his true humanity, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of David. They will know in the millennial kingdom, both Jews and Gentiles all over the world, they will know that in his true humanity, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of David. Four, they will know that the Lord Jesus Christ will not forsake them in times of disobedience. They will know that the Lord Jesus Christ will not forsake them in times of disobedience. Five, they will know that the Lord Jesus Christ will protect Israel from those who try to destroy them. They will know that the Lord Jesus Christ will protect Israel from those who will try to destroy them. Now, this was made clear by the Lord Jesus Christ way back in Genesis. So turn back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12 verses 1 through 3. Genesis 12 verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country and your people and your father's household and go to the land that I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you. And I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, but whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So they will know that the Lord Jesus Christ will protect Israel from those who are bent on her destruction. 6. The Lord Jesus Christ will destroy the great army of the King of the North, Russia, in the latter days of the Great Tribulation. The Lord Jesus Christ will destroy the great army of the King of the North, Russia, in the latter days of the Great Tribulation. 7. They will know that the Lord Jesus Christ provides great blessing and prosperity for His people, Israel. They will know that the Lord Jesus Christ provides great blessing and prosperity for His people, Israel, and for all those Gentiles who walk before Him in righteousness, before the nations of the world, entrusting Him, Jesus Christ, the living and true God. So verse 27 says, so far, then you will know that I am in the midst of Israel. Then you will know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God. This is the conjunction vav, prefix to the personal pronoun ani, plus the tetragrammaton, plus the noun Elohim. The conjunction vav this time is the connective vav, translated and. It introduces the second thing that the regenerate Jews will know in the millennial kingdom. Namely, that Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the God of Israel. We have the personal pronoun ani. Oh, there, we got it right there. The personal pronoun ani. And again, this is very, very emphatic. Once again, it puts the spotlight on the Lord Jesus Christ, the living and true God. And it, once again, there is no verb in this clause. It literally says, and that I, the Lord, your God. That's what we have. No verb. And that I, the Lord, your God. The absence of the verb, it once again puts the spotlight on the Lord Jesus Christ as the God of regenerate Israel. And then we have the holiest name for God in the Hebrew Scriptures, the Tetragrammaton. Looks like that. YHWH, the Tetragrammaton, so holy that the Orthodox Jews never would pronounce it. They would instead look at the Tetragrammaton and read Adonai. But this is the word we have in English, Jehovah, Lord, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ is Jehovah. And then Elohim. Looks like that in the Hebrew. Aleph, E-L-O-H-I-M. Elohim. Elohim, God, second person plural suffix, your God. So the corrected translation now, so far in verse 27, then you will know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God. And then he concludes, and none else. This is the construct of ayin, used as a particle of negation with the conjunction vav prefixed to it, plus the adverb oath. Once again, the vav is a connective vav and introduces the third thing that the regenerate Jews will know in the millennial kingdom. Namely, that there is only one living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The construct of ion looks like this. Aleph, A-Y-I-N, ion. And island, ion means there is none. And then with it, the adverb oath looks like this in the Hebrew. Ion, long O, D, oath. Oath literally means besides. So literally it says, and that there is none besides. But once again, this is an idiom. And there is no other. It means, and there is no other. So the corrected translation, then you will know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. There are no other gods. False gods that religion has put out there. There's only one living and true God. He has a name. We're going to see that. His name is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is one in essence, three in personality. Then you will know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. All right. One. There is only one. Only one living and true God. There is only one living and true God. Two, the name of the living and true God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Turn over to Matthew 19. Matthew 28, verse 19. Turn over to Matthew 28, verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 19. Matthew 28:19. Jesus Christ is holding Bible class, and he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name. Now, the word name is onoma, O-N-O-M-A, and it's in the singular, singular. One name. And baptizing them in the name. And what is the one name of the living and true God? The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The living and true God is one in essence, three in personality. That's the doctrine of the Trinity. One in essence, three in personality. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have the very same essence, the very same attributes. So the living and true God is one in essence and three in personality. Three, the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal God. He is co-equal and co-eternal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ is eternal God. He is co-equal and co-eternal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Four, the Lord Jesus Christ is Jehovah Elohim. The Lord Jesus Christ is Jehovah Elohim. Five, the Lord Jesus Christ is the God of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ is the God of Israel. Six, The Lord Jesus Christ is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Lord Jesus Christ is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. 7. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah promised in the Old Testament scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the anointed one promised in the Old Testament scriptures. 8. The Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, deity. He is the eternal Son of God, undiminished deity. Nine, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of Man, true humanity. And He took on true humanity on that very first Christmas. The greatest miracle that this world will ever know, that first Christmas, when the eternal Son of God left heaven through the incarnation and virgin birth, He took on true humanity. He was always the eternal Son of God. But on that very first Christmas, the eternal Son of God took on true humanity. Why did He have to take on true humanity? Because He was going to go to a cross and die. Deity can't die. He had to take on true humanity. And He did through the incarnation and virgin birth. Jesus Christ was born to die. He was born to go to a cross, and on that cross, the sins of the world were poured out on Him and judged in Him once and for all, so that anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can receive the gift of eternal life. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, undiminished deity. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of Man, true humanity. He took on that true humanity on that very first Christmas. The greatest miracle this world will ever, ever know. Operation Grace, God the Father's plan for salvation for mankind. So He, Jesus Christ, is undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever, the hypostatic union. 10, He is the Son of David. He is the Son of David and the rightful heir to the throne of David. He is the Son of David and the rightful heir to the throne of David. The Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal successor of the Davidic dynasty. 11, the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Israel. The Magi came from the east. Where did they come from? Well, believe it or not, they came from what we call Iran today, Persia. And they traveled, they followed a star, and they came to worship the King. And they brought gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, to give to the King. And that baby in that manger was the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And they came to worship the King. The Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Israel. 12. The Lord Jesus Christ is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. 13, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lion of Judah. He's the Lion of Judah. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Turn over to the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I know you can find John. John chapter 1, verse 29. John 1, 29. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him. This is John the voice. See, some of you call him John the Baptist, but I call him John the Voice. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Then down in verse 34, "And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." Again the next day John was standing and two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." So verse 27. "Then you will know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and that there is no other." There's only one living and true God. "Then you will know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and that there is no other." Well, that brings us to chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. No, really, chapter 2, verses 28 to 32, but one of the most powerful passages, prophetic passages in all of the Word of God. Joel 2, 28-32. We'll start there next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.